Well, good morning. Well, let's open with a word of prayer, and then we're going to jump back in to the book of Acts and a little bit of Galatians this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the ability for us to study your word, Lord. We thank you for the time we're able to just gather and worship you this morning. Lord, we pray that you would bless this time and help us to think well about Paul's ministry as we look at it a little bit more in depth this Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we'll see if I can get my computer to sign in here. Okay, there we go. Well, before we jump into what we were talking about, or what we're going to be talking about this week, I figured we'd look back a little bit at last week, because this Sunday and last Sunday, we're going to connect together a little bit the themes that we were talking about. So last week, we'll just look through our PowerPoint slides that we had. We were looking at serving needs in the local church, and so we went through and we read through Acts chapter 11, and we looked at verses 19 through 30. We also looked on the map at where Paul went, Barnabas went, right away. Barnabas went up from Jerusalem to Antioch, and he stayed there for a time. He departed, and he sought for Saul of Tarsus, later the Apostle Paul. And so, go back through. There he went up to Tarsus, then he came back down to Antioch. And then after that, we see that Barnabas and Saul, they end up going to Jerusalem, bringing a gift to the Jerusalem church to help supply a need that was due to a famine in that area. So then we looked at a pattern. Believers share the gospel. A need is seen. The church seeks to fulfill that need. And then the church grows. We see takeaways. A sign of a healthy church is that the gospel is being shared. A sign of a healthy church is that it notices the needs of other believers and works to supply those needs. A sign of a healthy church is that it recognizes its own weaknesses and finds means to strengthen them. And then a sign of a healthy church is that its members are willing to be used and or taken and used in different areas. And what does that imply for us? Well, as we look at the example of those before us, we should be willing to serve. We should be sharing the gospel. We see that was consistently what the church did. We should be willing to give. We see that in verses 27 through 30, there was a need that arose. And so the church in Antioch ended up giving to the needs of the church in Jerusalem. And then we should be willing to go. Paul and Barnabas were the ones who brought that need to the other church. And also be faithful where God has placed you right now. And so that'd be where we are at today. And that's where we ended last week. And so now I'd like to look a little bit this week at Paul, his call and his sending into the mission field. But before we jump into that, as I was going through and looking at, specifically we'll be looking at Galatians and Acts, and we'll be looking at a timeline in Galatians that's being given with the events that are corresponding in the book of Acts. But as I was looking through that, I figured we need to actually take a brief excursus in looking at the timing of the Jerusalem Council. This ends up becoming an important theme in this subject because there are a couple people who place it at different times regarding Paul's first missionary journey. But this is a fun word that I've enjoyed using recently. But in short, to define it, an excursus is an appendix, or a digression that contains a further exposition of some point or topic. And so we'll be kind of getting around. My definition of an excursus would be an intentional rabbit trail, which clarifies or explains a subject being discussed. And so before we jump into looking at Paul and his call, we are going to look at when did the Jerusalem Council take place, regarding Paul's ministry and where that fits with his first missionary journey, before, after, and all those kinds of things. So first, well, I guess we'll be looking at, was the book of Galatians written before the Jerusalem Council? My answer to that would be yes. And I'd like to go through, just to support that, it's just a statement, I'd like to give a couple different proofs for why I think that is the case. So there are two primary ways that I think that we can notice that the book of Galatians was written before the Jerusalem Council. And one of the reasons for that would be the people that Paul met, specifically in the time periods that are given in Galatians chapter 2 and the corresponding passages in Acts. They don't line up, I would say, if it was supposed to be, if Paul was going for the Jerusalem Council. The next thing would be the places that Paul visited. We get a whole itinerary of locations in Acts that Paul visited, and we have a couple locations mentioned in Acts. So we're going to briefly look at those different things, and then we're going to look at Paul and his call to the ministry. So first, I'd like just to read through this. I like reading through passages when I'm looking at them. So Galatians 2, verses 1 and 2, and then 7 and 10, the Apostle Paul says, "Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and also took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain." And then in 7 through 10, "But on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me, as the gospel for the circumcised was to Peter, for he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the circumcised also worked effectively toward me towards the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles, and they to the circumcised. They desired only that we should remember the poor, the very thing which I was also eager to do." So as we read through that passage, actually I'm going to back up a tiny bit here. I'd like to note one or two things regarding Paul and what is said here in Galatians 2. When he ended up going through, if you notice, he goes up to Jerusalem, and he ends up meeting privately with those who are of reputation, or I think as we can see it, we'd see that that would be the apostles and some of the elders of the Jerusalem church. And then he was approved for going to the Gentiles. So if we were to go through and look, in Galatians 2, we see a private meeting. He was going to only those of reputation or the leaders of the church. He was approved for his ministry, which is going to the Gentiles. And this comes at a time where we see the apostles are still someone that was around. We don't have apostles in our day and age. And so it makes sense that before Paul did anything, he went to the apostles to talk about the ministry that he was planning to go on, especially since it was a new thing. And then looking at Acts 15, if you'd follow along with me, it says, "And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy to all the brethren." It's interesting, this is a very similar message that Paul gives to the leaders and to the church in Jerusalem. So if he was going privately to communicate his own where he was going, it's odd that he would write it as he went to the church in Jerusalem privately to those who were of reputation when he communicated the message here in Acts to the churches in Phoenicia and all the way down to Jerusalem. And then he was received by the church. We see that a little bit later on. We see that, and when he came to Jerusalem, they were received by the church, the apostles, and the elders. So not just the men of reputation who are there, or the elders, as we'll see a little bit later. And they reported all the things that God had done. But some of them, sects of the Pharisees, who believed, rose up, saying, "It is necessary to circumcise them and command them to keep the law of Moses." Now the apostles and the elders came together to consider this matter. Then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, Silas, and leading men among the brethren. So when we're looking at Galatians 2 and Acts 15, we see that there's a public reception, and that he was going through and he spoke to the church, the apostles, and the elders. So this seems like a much more public declaration of what they had been doing, and then they deliberated with the elders and the apostles, and it was received by the whole church. And so the church gave approval, and then their subsequent resolution that they gave, and they sent the message by Paul and Barnabas back to the church in Antioch, along with the two others who are mentioned. So as we look through, I would say that those two do not line up perfectly well. And so I think that we're looking at different times. And then I think this also gets further confirmed. I could read through all the verses about where they went on different locations, but conveniently people have made maps that trace Paul's journey. When Paul went through on his first missionary journey, he ended up going through, and we're looking at regions specifically, not just the towns. He was in Syria, Cyprus, Lycia, Galatia, and then back through. And if you see, there's like longer lines. I don't have the laser with me this morning. But you see that there's Pamphylia, Pisidia, and Lycaonia. Those are different kind of sub-regions in the area that Paul ended up going through. And that ends up being important. Thank you, Tim. So lasers there. So you see Lycaonia and Pisidia, Pamphylia, all those different areas. So Paul went to multiple different regions on his first missionary journey. This does not correspond to this first visit to Jerusalem that we see in Galatians 2. When we end up going through, if I open up to, which I have a bookmark. So when we go through and we look at verses here, let me see. Okay, yeah. So it says, but I saw none of the others in the, of the apostles. This is Galatians 1:19 through 21. It says, I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now concerning the things which I write in, to you, indeed, before God I do not lie. Afterward, I went into the regions of Cilicia and Syria, and I was unknown by faith to the churches of Judea who are in Christ. Then at the first verse of chapter 2, he says, after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem. So when Paul goes through and he gives the locations he was in, he says that he was in the regions of Cilicia and Syria, which is interesting because if I go through, last week we noted that Paul was in Tarsus originally after he came up from Jerusalem, and then he went with Barnabas back to Antioch. And if you notice those different regions that he is in, that says Cilicia and Syria. It's interesting. It, like, corresponds perfectly or something. And so as we go through, I think it's interesting to note the list in Galatians shows that Paul was in the regions of Cilicia and Syria. He had a private meeting with those who have reputation or the church leaders and the apostles. He had a ministry approved of, and then the ministry was going to the Gentiles. In Acts 11, we see Saul's location, which would be given in Acts 11, 25 and 26. That'd be in Tarsus and then brought back down to Antioch. So he was in Cilicia and Syria, same locations. And then afterwards, relief was sent to Jerusalem, specifically to the elders in Jerusalem. It mentions in Acts 11, 30. So he went to the church leaders and he delivered the gift. And then he returns to Antioch. I don't see any kind of discrepancy between that and that list in Galatians. What we do see is that Paul said a little bit more than what we just have in the overview. Luke and the Apostle Paul had different focuses for what they were writing about. And so when Paul wrote his list, he told what he was talking about on his own time when he was in Jerusalem. And in Acts, we see the locations and the ministry of giving the gift to the Jerusalem leaders. So those two, I'd say, line up perfectly well, which would follow the Acts 11 timeline of going through for Paul visiting Jerusalem. So that kind of goes through and it briefly concludes that excursus. And so now I'd like to go through and look at a timeline of when Paul was sent, or what it looked like. When was Paul sent? What did that look like? How was he called? And when was he sent? Do those things line up perfectly? When did Paul actually go onto the field? And so the focus for that I'd like to look at is Paul's call to the ministry and then the church's role in sending. And so the key passages beneath those for you guys just to take note of. We're not going to read through all of those, but we will look at a fair amount of them. As we go through, before I jump into reading this text, why I find that excursus important is when we look at where we place the Jerusalem Council, it affects the order of things that I end up talking about in this next part. And so if these are out of order, it doesn't change the meaning of what's already in Scripture here, but it helps us to properly put them in order. And so when I was looking through, there were a couple different people, and I was reading one person. He was saying, Paul was going through. He wrote after the Jerusalem Council, and so then he continued on with his commentary. When I was reading another guy, he said, it was written beforehand. And so there are different dating dates that are given for the book of Galatians. And I think when we get those out of order, it fails to add some of the significance to some of the passages that we have here. So to jump into this portion here in Galatians 1, I'd like to quickly look at a timeline, just overview of where Paul went and when those things happened, and then we will look at when he actually got onto the field. And so reading Galatians, well, you have the passage on the screen. It says, "But I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which was preached to you, or which was preached by me, not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his Son, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. Some of these passages, as you guys might note already, we've already read once or twice, but we're looking at them from a slightly different angle, not looking at the Jerusalem Council. We're now looking at Paul and his call. We see that when Paul was going through, he ended up going, and after he was saved, he went to Arabia. And it says that in verse 16, it says that I might preach him among the Gentiles. And this is, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. So he receives this understanding that he believes that he was supposed to preach to the Gentiles. And what does he do? Well, he goes out to Arabia and he's there for 3 years. And we also see in verse 12 that he was taught things by the revelation of Jesus Christ. It would be generally understood that the Apostle Paul learned directly from Christ while he was out in Arabia during this time. And so we don't know exactly what that looks like. We don't have a lot of extra material from Scripture on it. But we know that he received revelation from Jesus Christ, and he was in Arabia for 3 years, and then he comes back and he starts serving. And so when we go through, if we now look at Acts 11, 25 to 26, and then on to 29 and 30, it says, "Then Barnabas departed to Tarsus to seek for Saul." So this is after those 3 years. He has now come back from Arabia, and he goes up to Tarsus. And so Barnabas goes and he seeks for Saul in Tarsus, and he brings him back to Antioch. It says, "So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." "Then the disciples, each according to his own ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." So I think it's interesting to note that Paul goes through, he receives an understanding that he's supposed to go to the Gentiles. And his first result, as he comes back, he doesn't meet all of the apostles. He ends up going and he spends 15 days with Peter, and then he goes up and he serves over the course of the next 14 years between Tarsus and Antioch. And so he is serving in those churches, and then he ends up going through, and while he is serving in the church, he ends up going down and bringing the gift to Judea. And then as we go through, we can follow this in Galatians. We see that Paul, looking at this time when he was going up to Jerusalem, says, "And I went up by revelation and communicated to them the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain." And then down in verse 9, "And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me the right hand, me and Barnabas, the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised." So we see that Paul and Barnabas, after they have gone through and they have seen the apostles, and Paul communicates his ministry desire, he ends up being given approval to go on to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had gone to the circumcised. And so then if we look down in chapter 12, verse 25, it says, "And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they fulfilled their ministry, and they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark." That's an interesting point as well. Mark is now being brought back. Mark ends up figuring into the first missionary journey. So if the book of Galatians ended up being written after the Jerusalem Council, and John Mark was with them already when they were, if John Mark was already with them, why did he bring them back? or why did he bring him back to Antioch? And so it seems that this is when he first comes back in chapter 12, and then in chapter 13 they go on their first missionary journey. So this couldn't have been the Jerusalem Council. We see that John Mark was there beforehand, the locations don't line up, and the people that they end up meeting up with don't line up for the Jerusalem Council. So this was an earlier time that he visited the church in Jerusalem. And then looking at Acts 13:1-3, it says that now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So I think that one thing that we can just assume as we go through and we look back, Paul and Barnabas, they go back in to the church in Antioch, and we see them serving right away when we go through and see them in their next time. I'm assuming that from when they brought the gift back to when they're next mentioned in Acts 13, I think it's a safe assumption that they had been serving between those two times. And why were they fasting and praying? We don't have that directly stated, but as I think about this, it wouldn't surprise me at all if part of the reason why they were going through and fasting and praying is because Paul had a burden for the Gentiles and they hadn't sent him out yet. And so they were going through and conferring as a church to go through and see if this is something that they should do or not. And then we see at the end of this that the Spirit does move them to go through and separate Barnabas and Saul. And then they are sent away. after they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them. I think that this is important when we look at the timeline of events. Paul was overqualified when he finally went in a lot of ways. If we go through and we look at Paul's pre-mission process, you could say, he was given a ministry or burden to the Gentiles, and he was in Arabia for 3 years. He received revelation from the Lord during this time. And what does he do next? He goes back and he serves in the church. Then he goes to Jerusalem and he delivers a gift and he also meets with the apostles. again, he is given the right hand of fellowship to go to the uncircumcised. So does Paul jump right into going on his first missionary journey? We don't see that. We see that he returns to Antioch and he serves in the church. And then finally, we see that he is sent out after the church recognizes, and then he goes to the Gentiles. And so I think as we look at an order, he was given a commission by the Lord. He was given approval by the apostles, and then he finally goes. We don't have apostles in our day and age, but as we go through and we look at when was Paul ready to go onto the field? Well, from an intellectual standpoint, you probably could think that it was a lot earlier than when he actually did, but when he actually ended up going onto the field was when he was recognized by the church, and then he was sent out by the church. Overall, this is something that I'd like to kind of focus in on, is that missionaries are called by the Spirit and they are recognized and sent by the church. And so ultimately, it's the Spirit who moves the hearts of the individuals who end up going, but it's also the Spirit who moves the church as a whole to send believers out. And so I think this is of importance because missionaries are sent out by the church. It's not their qualifications. It's not boards or agencies, and it's not even personal desires that send them out. It's ultimately the local church that sends people out. And if we're thinking about this from a personal side, well, not everyone is going to be sent out as a missionary. Paul sets a really good example for what just believers do in general. When they're in a local church, they're serving in a local church. I think that Paul's model of what he did between his salvation and when he eventually was sent out, I think that that's helpful for us to think about, because Paul was serving in the local church a long time before he ended up actually going out onto the mission field. And so even though not all of us might end up going out onto foreign fields to share the gospel with lost people out in foreign cultural contexts, we have an example set by Paul that what do believers do in the local church? Well, they serve the local church. And he does that by bringing the gift down to the church in Jerusalem. We see that he is fasting and praying, and we don't know all of what he was doing, but he was sent for by Barnabas originally. And so I think that Paul sets a good example of just believers, what they do is they end up serving. And that's something that we should model. And now I think that this is something that I was thinking about as we go through and think about these different things. I think it'd be great if we take a few moments, if there's only one or two of you, maybe find a table which has a few more people. But pick someone at your table and pray that we would be willing servants, and then also that we would see needs and be willing to send believers to go do different things for the Lord. And then also, afterwards, after you pray, discuss with your table, what are ways that others have been a blessing by serving you? And then also, what are ways that you are able to serve? And so that kind of hopefully makes the rubber meet the road when it looks at serving for us individually. Just take a few moments to go through and look at those things one to another. What does service look like personally in the local church? You know, we might not be going abroad, as said, but we still have ways that we are able to serve. And so talk about it. And then you're free to go when you guys finish, whenever that ends up happening.